the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Dear Spirit of Christ, may the power of your holy name be shown among the peoples, and may we be gathered in unity, surrounded by your presence. Who do you say that I am? Jesus asks this question to his disciples, and he needed an answer. His days are now numbered, and would anyone really understand who he was? Was there any who, when he had departed from this world, would carry on his work and labor for his kingdom? He desired assurance, and this was a crucial problem, as it involved the very survival of the burgeoning, the beginning Christian faith. If there were none who professed the truth or even could glimpse it, then all of his work will become undone. Well, the place where Jesus asked this question is very significant. This place is one of the sources of the River Jordan. And in ancient days, around this very place, there were competing forces of belief systems in this area. This very place was a place where the pagan god Pan was revered by the Romans. And its name, which was once Panion, was now changed to Caesarea Philippi after King Herod's son Philip rebuilt the city after a Roman conquest. Competing cultures, competing belief systems. This is what lies now in front of the disciples at a tumultuous time. Yet we see in Matthew, it is here in this very place where Jesus says and asks Simon Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter correctly identifies Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of the living God. The motif of Peter as a rock most probably had something to do with his rocky-like character. And it is in this gospel that Jesus extols him and says, "Peter, it is on this rock that I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." Isaiah, we see in our scripture today, foretold this. And Isaiah is directing us to look to that very rock from which you are hewn. He directs us also back to our ancestors, Abraham, Sarah. This is now a new beginning, a pivotal time. To call Jesus Messiah will now be unpacked in Peter's own very confession. And the qualities of God will now become known and manifested in him. Jesus' very comment, "Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you," helps us to understand that his identity by Peter was not learned. He didn't regurgitate the answer to be correct in the class, but it was one of a direct experience, a divine downloading. He's got this divine revelation, which is called the foundation of the church, and alongside with it is given specific authority. This is a question that each one of us needs to ask ourselves about Jesus. It's essential and pivotal in our gospel today. As in each Christian, each one of our lives will respond to that answer as our lives unfold. So we can't get the expedited, easy Cliff Notes answer in our sermon today. But Jesus now knows that someone recognizes him, and it is this Apostle Peter. What did Peter understand? He understood that the human categorization of Jesus was not fully adequate to describe him. So even the human prophets Elijah and Jeremiah too, again, could not be adequate because these were fully human prophets, yes, like Jesus, but not also divine. So the human categorization is not fully adequate. Our discovery, like Peter's, can be a personal and collective discovery. Our knowledge is an experiential understanding of that goes beyond learned information and knowledge about Jesus. So knowledge about Jesus really can't be a second-hand thing. It is partially. So we might know that the verdicts that were passed on to Jesus, we might know the historical narratives and the summaries of his teaching. That is a wonderful, good biblical scholarship. This is knowing about Jesus. But Christianity is knowing Jesus. And Jesus demands a personal verdict. And this is what the question asks. Who do you say that I am? Is Jesus in your conversation with other people? This is a question I ask of myself. Do I name him as often as I should? Certainly a point to ponder. I confess him as my Savior. His person was on earth for a time, personifying God and showing God's very own compassion and mercy. So to know him walking on the earth was to get a taste of God's love for us. He comes to the poor. He comes to the poor in spirit. He comes to people who even have got it made in life. And he helps all of us grow into the potential that he's gifted us with if we want to take him up on that, if we can understand what that is. But what is interesting about Jesus is that he often didn't refer to himself as the Christ or even use the word I very often. At this very time, facing death, gathering disciples around him, his own heart in deep yearning and deep need for quiet, deep need for prayer, he was also directing this question to his Father. Who do you say that I am? Still to be learned, still to be understood himself. Who do you say that I am? As we gather as a community of faith in Jesus, we encounter believers who live out their own faith. It's very beautiful. We also encounter others who have little, none, or maybe even abandoned faith. And in our witness of this, we're offered encounters of the Christ within each other. He's there in each one of us, and we're changed by these encounters. Jesus calls us to be available, to be open and vulnerable. And this we can do easily with people that we trust. But we can also ask the heart of Christ to direct us with those that we don't, to lead us, to help us to discover. Who am I, God? Who is this person you've made us to be? You brought us into creation, a creation of deep pain and suffering. We're called to abide and suffer alongside our brothers and sisters, becoming witnesses to the Christ. Your love can free us as we're called to love each other as he loved us. And may our works find favor in your sight. As a Christian, then, in each one of us, our life's response to the world, our actions, we tend to answer each other with this. And this answer will continually emerge throughout our whole lives as it unfolds in the centeredness of the love of us and our love for Jesus. Who do you say that I am? Now to him who's able to do exceedingly more above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us, his power, to him be the glory in the church, by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.